and welcome to a new edition of Mercenary Musings Radio, a bi-weekly audio program featuring mining analyst and commodities expert, the mercenary geologist, Mickey Fulp. We are your most trusted source for in-depth analysis and commentary on commodities, mining, and the junior resource sector. Got the Surf Lords kicking off a new edition of Mercenary Musings Radio, and we have on the line from Albuquerque, New Mexico, the mercenary geologist himself, Mickey Fulp. Mickey, how have you been?
I've been well, Rob.
Okay, your hockey team has been doing quite well as well. I didn't see the game the other night, Mickey, but the scoreline certainly suggests it was a convincing victory by your St. Louis Blues, 6-3 over San Jose. So we've got that conference final deadlocked at two games apiece.
Well, actually, Rob, both series are tied 2-2, the West and the East. My team, the Blues, 10 wins now, only 6 to go, but the Sharks are much like the Blues, heavy hitting, big, speedy, good goaltending. So this is a war. It seems like every win is excruciatingly difficult.
Yeah, and you get the feeling this is going to go the distance, 7 games, don't you?
Oh, absolutely. I'd be surprised if either of these teams wins 2 in a row at this stage.
Okay, well, let's get on to today's program, Mickey. We decided to take a look at 4 obscure elements on the periodic table. We have rhythium, rhodium.
Ruthenium.
Ruthenium, rhodium, osmium, and iridium.
So correct.
Yes, so I finally got them correct. So let's begin with the first two, Mickey, number 44 and 45 on the periodic table. The characteristics, and really I guess the characteristics for all four of them, fairly similar, correct?
Well, that's correct, and these are part of the 6 platinum group elements. Now, we've talked several times about platinum and palladium, but these are the obscure ones that are extremely rare in the PGEs or PGMs, also called platinoid metals. The name I prefer for all 6 would be the noble metals. Distinguishing characteristics, they're all transition metals. They occur in trace amounts in nickel, copper, platinum ores, also in nickel iron meteorites. Very high melting points, very hard, silvery to bluish white. Very tarnish and corrosion resistant, and with lustrous sheens. The distinguishing characteristic between them and the platinum palladium is they do not dissolve in aqua region. That has ramifications for both their discovery and their separation.
Okay, in terms of production, Mickey, some of them, minuscule production, others, we've got, for example, rhodium, fairly decent-sized production in terms of tonnage the world over. And so it really goes from one end to another, doesn't it, with these four?
Well, yeah, it does. I mean, there's not much production in any of them. But we already mentioned they're insoluble in aqua region, and so this is how they are separated. They occur in nickel, copper, and platinum ores, and they are separated. They're smelted and then separated because they do not dissolve. And that's the way they were discovered. 3 of them discovered in 1803. They were not dissolvable along with platinum and palladium, so there was always a residue left behind.
And in terms of where they were discovered, Mickey, platinum, palladium, of course, one of the hot spots in the world, South Africa, and that is one of the regions where they are found in abundance.
Well, that's true. I mean, the major producers would be the major mines in the nickel, copper, platinum ores, and that would include Norilsk in Russia, Sudbury Basin just north of you there, the Bushveld Complex of South Africa, the Great Dike of what used to be Rhodesia is now Zimbabwe, and the Stillwater Complex of Montana.
Okay, beginning with ruthenium, Mickey, let's begin. Let's run down some of the characteristics and uses of each, if you can.
Okay. Well, ruthenium is not that uncommon. It has the abundance of about 1 ppb, so 1/3 the amount of gold, has 7 isotopes. It was discovered in 1844, as opposed to the other 3. It's used as an alloy with platinum and palladium for electrical contacts. It's used in lead, bismuth, ruthenium resistors, titanium super alloys, and also as petroleum catalysts. Mm-hmm. Going on to rhodium, that's the one that probably most people know about. It's silvery white, hard, one isotope, quite rare, once again, approximates the rarity of gold. 80% of it's used in catalytic converters in automobiles, so it's a critical component in a three-metal suite, platinum, palladium, rhodium, in catalytic converters, but it is a very minor part of that. Also used as coatings and electroplating jewelry. You know, I've got a piece of a bracelet I wore when I was 12 years old, and it's coated with rhodium, so electroplating. Right. Also silverware, petroleum catalysts. It's the only one you can really readily buy in the open precious metal market, and our sponsor here, let's give a little shout out to Kitco. You can buy rhodium sponge from Kitco. Now, it's essentially a rhodium powder. I don't think it's ever fabricated into coins or bars.
Okay. I like one of these uses for osmium, no longer really in terms of a big use, and I guess it really wasn't a big use when this was taking place, but it was used in the tips for styluses, for records.
Well, it was, yeah. So osmium is the rarest, and it actually is one of the most rare elements on a periodic table. It's the highest density metal at 22.6 grams per centimeter cubed. I mean, that's quite a bit more dense and heavy than gold. Seven isotopes. One radioactive isotope, and that's important because we do something called osmium-iridium ratios to figure out where in the dinosaurs went extinct, and we'll talk about that a little bit more. It's used mainly now in fingerprint detection and electrical contacts, but early uses include light bulbs.
Yep.
That is so rare and expensive, they went to tungsten, and the reason it was used in filaments in incandescent light bulbs is because it is so the melting point is so high. Also used historically in the Haber process, which, if listeners recall, is a process to fix atmospheric nitrogen and make nitrogen fertilizer. And then what you just mentioned, your old turntables from the 40s and 50s used osmium for a stylus until they figured out that diamonds and sapphires work better, and also used in nibs and fountain pens historically.
Do you have a working turntable at your place?
I do. Yeah. It's a Thorin's. It's a very good one.
Yeah.
Dates from the mid-70s, but it's got a diamond.
It's got
a
diamond.
Or a sapphire stylus on it.
We'll digress for a second. The sound coming out of that can't be matched, can it, by digital?
Well, it really can't for the range of tones. Mm-hmm. Of course, everybody's got a few scratches on their LPs, so you put up with a little bit of static, but the tone and the range quality of sound is actually much better than any CD.
Let's bring the third one into the discussion, Mickey. Iridium production uses, what do you have?
Well, it's the second most dense. It's also the most corrosion resistant of these metals. Got two isotopes. It's used as organometallic compounds, especially chlorine for catalysts. Because it's so hard, it's used and durable. It's corrosion resistant. It's used in compass bearings, high performance spark plugs. So most propeller driven airplanes use those sorts of spark plugs. High temperature crucibles. Here's the key to iridium, and it doesn't have a lot of uses, but it's much more abundant in meteorites than the crust. So this is what was used to figure out when the dinosaurs went extinct because of the big meteorite impact in the Yucatan Peninsula at 66 million years. There is a worldwide iridium-rich clay layer from all the debris put into the atmosphere, and that's how that date is fixed, and we know that that's when it happened, and that's what happened. The dinosaurs went extinct.
Okay, and once again, South Africa, right? It's right there with the reserves in the Bushveld area.
Yeah, all these metals, they all basically come from from ores and worldwide, but in the case of iridium, I think it's especially important in South Africa.
Yeah, and I think with iridium, of the ones that we are talking about, it's got the least amount of production and consumption. Only 3 tons? Did you come across a figure that small?
Well, actually, it's osmium has the least uses. Let's just go into that. Consumption in 2013, which is the last date USGS has posted this information. Ruthenium, about 26 tons per year. Rhodium, 29 tons. Iridium, 6 tons per year. Now, that's varied over the last 10 years from 3 to 10 tons.
Okay.
Depending mainly because they stockpile this stuff. So,
right.
And then osmium is much, much less than 1 ton per year. I found something that said the production in 2013 in the U.S. was estimated at 75 kilograms. So 1,000 kilograms is a ton. So, they are not very abundant, and they, with the exception of rhodium, that's the only one that's especially critical for modern-day lifestyles.
Okay, is this the scarcity of this stuff also reflected in the prices and the price movement that we see?
Not really. No. You know, you would think as scarce as they are, that the prices would be, I would have thought, higher than most precious metals, and that's really not the case. Now, rhodium actually went skyrocketing during, the post-global economic crisis. But it trades at $1,070 an ounce. Iridium, these are all average prices in 2013.
Right.
Iridium, $825. Ruthenium, which is the second most used, is not worth very much, $76 an ounce, and then osmium at $400 an ounce.
Okay. Is there an investing angle to this, Mickey, from the junior point of view?
I don't know what it would be, to tell you the truth, Rob. These are so minor that... if you want to invest in companies that are looking for platinum group metals, sure, this is part of the story, but it's not an important part of the story at all.
Okay. Let's wrap it up on that note. What are you thinking about next time out after
we're
celebrating?
We're done, except for one element, Rob.
Oh, okay.
The most abundant element on the earth, and tell me what you might think that might be.
Oh, boy.
The air you breathe.
It's right in front of my face. I couldn't even see it.
Oxygen.
Oxygen, yes.
We haven't done oxygen. It's the only element on the periodic table we haven't talked about yet. And so we're going to talk about oxygen, which is, if it wasn't for oxygen, there wouldn't be much life on the planet. No. Certainly nothing other than microbes.
Okay, Mickey, great stuff. We'll wrap it up there. Talk to you in a couple of weeks. And hopefully it'll be on a happy note, too, with your blues blowing past the sharks. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, in a couple of weeks we ought to hopefully be well into the cup final, so look forward to that.
Thanks a lot, Mickey.
All right, thank you, Rob.
That's Mickey Fulp, the mercenary geologist. You can find him on the web at mercenarygeologist.com, and you can always hear Mickey's latest opinion exclusively on mercenarygeologist.fm and kitco.com. I'm Robert Graham at Mercenary Musings Radio. Thanks for listening.